What is mind?
Mind? So actually, before I speak about what is mind, I have to say that all mind, silence, love, whatever, enlightenment, truth, it's a way of definition. So, and there is not a real objective definition for those things, or a real truth, or an objective truth. It's all a way how we define that. And that's what I want to clarify a little bit, that there are definitions that I am using, and that doesn't mean that they have to be the absolute truth. And I saw many people, friends, and they could understand the definitions and somehow speak in that realms, so to say. So for example, satsang means meeting in truth, and what truth is, we don't know really. But I can say how my definition for truth is. Or for peace. And the following clips that we want to produce here, there I will speak about it.
So, what is the mind?
So what you're asking me is actually what is the definition for mind, how I see it. The mind is thinking and capacity to compare thoughts from the past with thoughts from now. It's a movement, it's a capacity. A capacity, a human capacity. The brain has the capacity to process thinking. And often spiritual people say you have to get rid of the mind, or the mind is doing this and this, but there is no mind that is doing something, and you cannot get rid of something that doesn't exist. It's just a movement, and the mind is a tool, you could say, to find orientation, to survive, that's the human capacity, and the human capacity of mind is strong. That's why humans are in a high position, so to say, compared to the animals. Yeah, they, with a strong mind, they can, how to say, be stronger than the animals, even when the animals have much more muscles or better teeth and whatever, and a big mouth to eat human beings. But the strong mind can help.
What means happiness?
Often people ask me, are you happy? And I said, I don't know. I just know that I'm not unhappy. also happiness is a way of defining it. So there are things that create a kind of happiness. For example, to notice that I live in a world here in Europe, for example, where there's no war. I can be grateful. Gratefulness can create happiness. Also, what can create happiness is to know who I am, to know who I really am, and to see the gift of that. This is, can be happiness. But what really happiness is, who can say this? For some people it means ecstasy, for some people different definitions.
What is enlightenment or awakening, or is there any difference between enlightenment and awakening?
These are just terms, words, and then maybe there are some people and they seem to be enlightened, or we say they are enlightened because they behave in a different way or in a certain way. But it's just a word. That what I really am does never sleep, so it cannot awake. And that what I am not also cannot awake, because it does not exist. Sleeping, awaking, awakening, sleeping, awakening. We could say, when I believe I'm just this human being and have no knowledge about that there is more, then there can happen a kind of awakening when I know there's something more. I'm not just this human being. And then there can be the realization that I'm not at all this human being. But if this is enlightenment or awakening, who can say this? So there are some people, they claim themselves as enlightened, and I would say, don't go to these people to find enlightenment. Enlightenment is just an idea. If somebody tells you you have to do or to do some things or to let go of some things to receive enlightenment in the future, don't believe it. It's not true. It's just not true.
What means healing?
Of course, as I said before, all is a way of definition. The definition that I'm using is to be aware of that what is absolutely healed or was never missing something. So this is who you are, who you really are. This is absolutely complete. Never something was missing. So if your attention can connect with that, who you are, this can create processes in the organism that can create that symptoms go away, but this is not healing. Healing is to know who you are. In my view, and when the connection is happening to this essence of who you are, so-called healing processes can start to happen in the organism. And then even dying can happen, and that doesn't mean that there is no healing. The dying can happen and you remain in peace. For me, the highest healing that can happen. But often we say when dying happens, then there was no healing. So you see, it's a way of definition. So many people approach me for healing, and for example, once I had a man who was diagnosed, how is the word? I don't know, with cancer, and he made all the therapies and everything, so the doctor said he cannot heal anymore. And he took healing sessions with me, and in that time they said, you have 3 weeks to live, and to him. So he took 3 of my healing sessions, and half a year later he called me and asked me if I remember, and he said he wants to just report that he still has a lot of pain and the tumors are growing, but he said, but I am healed. And because he recognized who he was, and he was not spiritual or didn't visit many of my workshops or other workshops or satsangs or whatever, he just saw who he was. And he could see, this is the healing. He is peace, he is silence, he is love. I'm home. So he died in peace.
What is love?
Love is who I am, or who you are. It's who you are, it's unconditional. Unconditionally here. Who you are doesn't want to have everything or anything different. It's just here, accepting everything without any need to accept something. It doesn't exclude anything. Who you lives and love with the whole universe, with everything. It doesn't mean to feel erotic or to like or to be friendly or to be nice. That has nothing to do with love. It's just an aspect of love. Even disease or even war is an aspect of love.
Can you define that, that war is an aspect of love?
Yes, because everything only can happen because you are there. If you wouldn't be there, and who you are is love, if love wouldn't be there, war could not happen. And wars just happening out of patterns, fear, greed, but all this, everything that happens, the basis for that it can happen is who you are. If you are not here, there cannot happen war. Nothing can happen. The whole universe cannot happen.
What is a non-dual perspective?
So, it's difficult to speak about it. Already the word non-dual only says what it is not. It's not dual. Non-dual cannot really say what it is, what it really is. We cannot define it. We don't have words for it. But who you are, and who you are is not an expression, it's not a feeling, it's not a sensation, not a thought. Who you are is that what remains. And this has no opposite, or there are not two of it. There's only you that remains. And you is not this human being. Or I am is not. What I am is not that what you see here. It's not that what is making noise and speaking. What I am is that what remains. And this is non-dual.
What means non-dual perspective in daily life?
You need to be aware that you are that what remains. And to see daily life as a movement happening in that non-dual realm or being or reality, however you want to call it. And when the attention stays there or can rest there, and there's no need to contract afraid or to create problems. You see, it's just the happening. Nothing can be different. Some people say everything is predicted. I don't like that expression so much. It's a personal not liking. But it's like that. It happens as it happens, and it cannot be different. This would be the non-dual perspective in life.
I have heard that you work with traumatized people. Can you say about this something?
Yes, so I don't work with trauma. I work with people that are traumatized or have experienced trauma. And what I noticed when trauma reactions are happening in people, the nervous system or the whole organization is like that, that they have the feeling they need to run or to escape or to flight. And when this is happening, there's not really, we cannot decide it with our mind or with our consciousness to not be like that. It's very deep, it's very quick. And I noticed that for myself as this person and also with other persons, when this is happening, this organism has information that it needs to survive now. And when we come back to the here and now, right now, you see, it's not true. Surviving is happening and it's not threatened. So, and I can support people to notice that also, to notice with the whole organism that the trauma experience is over. And what trauma is also definition. But to make it easy and short, trauma means that something has happened and we could not act accordingly. So we couldn't successfully defend or run away when there was a danger. So and then the nervous system had to organize differently to survive. And these patterns we repeat and repeat as human beings because our brain knows that helped a long time ago to survive and uses these surviving patterns, and that doesn't help to be happy. Then, for example, we hear some noise or hear a certain kind of light or whatever that reminds this nervous system on the trauma experience, and suddenly it reacts in the same way. So I support people to somehow come out of this surviving pattern.
What is relationship from the non-dual perspective?
What do you exactly mean? Do you mean intimate relationship or
Yeah, also intimate relationship.
It's actually also just the word relationship, like mind or whatever we have spoken before. It's kind of happening, relating happens. And relating means patterns, behaving patterns. So often when people meet, for example in an intimate relationship, man and woman meet, and patterns are meeting other patterns. And relationship patterns are sometimes really strange, because then we think we have to behave in a certain way. But when we look a little bit deeper, we see everything, every thought, every feeling, every sensation just is happening by itself. There is no one who is under control. And relationships often end up in controlling. Or it's like a contract. If you behave like this, then I give you that. But it's a contract. Relating just happens.
Can traumatized people experiencing awakening?
Yes, it's absolutely not connected in that way. So, knowing who you are can, or recognizing who you really are, can happen to the most traumatized person. And actually, trauma is helping to realize the truth. Because trauma creates a behaving that is very painful and creates suffering. So if we are traumatized in the nervous system, there's a strong need to find a solution or a liberation or freedom, healing. So when this first realization or the first conscious realization happened for me of who I am, there were a lot of traumatizations in this nervous system, and they still are. But I have learned ways that the nervous system can regulate better and notice very quickly that the danger is over. And yeah, I have learned some healing methods for traumatized people, like somatic experiencing or NAM, and these are very helpful tools to support the nervous system to regulate. But that what is always here, that what is awake already is never traumatized. So I am never traumatized, I was never traumatized, you are not traumatized, you were never traumatized. Just the organism has experienced something and behaves in a pattern until it stops to behave like it.